Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, it's a game show Wednesday. We're going to play Zippy Dollar Pyramid, your chance to win tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters. And we also have Wizards tickets to give away for Friday, February 7th.
That's the night we're doing the Altcast.
We're doing the Altcast.
Yeah, on Monumental Sports Network.
I knew I was doing something February 7th. I kept thinking, we were planning on going up to New York. And I said, I know I can't go that day because I got something.
It's the day after your birthday.
Yeah, I reminded you, you should pay me a dollar. I gave you a real-time reminder.
I asked you.
Yes, I saw Blue correct. Shorts on Sunday. Blue Shorts came out to our appearance. And Blue Short came out with his fiance. I don't think they're officially married yet.
Yeah, they're never going to consummate that.
She's due to have their baby.
Well, that's kind of consummating.
But if it doesn't happen before, I guess, February 5th, EB, she's going to be induced on February 6th. So I told Blue Shorts, I was like, if it's a boy, you got to name him Eric or Bickle.
What did he say to that?
He kind of laughed it off. His girlfriend laughed it off, her fiance, whatever she is. I said, if it's a girl, I guess Erica, right? Or it's slided to Bickle.
I've always said Erica. I want someone to name their kid Erica.
Sure. Solid.
All right, let's go out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to NFL host for Sumer Sports, Lindsay Rhodes. She's covering the Senior Bowl as well. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you guys? What conversation did I just drop into?
Doesn't matter.
Just somebody that worked for us and is his fiance is due to have a baby and was saying that it's the date of induction is the same date as one of the host's birthdays, that maybe he should name the kid the name of the host, Eric.
Pretty simple.
That's definitely what that means.
Yeah. Why not?
Sure.
Why not? Why not?
Hey, Lindsay, I was at the Senior Bowl in 2019 because a good family friend was playing in it. And
who did you scout when you were down there, Jason?
Well, I was just watching one kid. I was down there because Trace McSorley's family and I are very tight. And what was amazing to me about just kind of walking around the stadium is how serious these fans take the Senior Bowl. I mean, there was tailgating everywhere from all the different schools of all the players that were participating. I assume, Lindsay, that you've seen that before, but it was kind of crazy that I thought it was just going to be, you know, just kind of a typical all-star game, not many fans there. These people were out there 3-4 hours before the game in their tents and their SUVs and their campers, and they were just partying it up.
Yeah. What's funny is you said that you went to the Senior Bowl, and I pictured you at a practice rather than at the game until you said the tailgating and the fans. I was like, there were fans there? And then, like, my mind didn't even go to the actual game, because the funniest thing about this week for me, for, you know, people who don't follow the NFL super, super nerd closely, this week is so weird in the sense that the game happens, but the game even is like so low on the totem pole of importance.
It's all about the practices,
parts,
right?
Yeah, it's the practices.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So everybody who's here during the week from a scouting standpoint, and honestly, even a lot of the media will leave before the game, all of the NFL personnel, they're all going to bail out before Saturday.
Yeah.
They're probably going to bail out like Thursday night, you know, because Friday's a light day for practices. The thing about this week is all about the practices, getting a look at the players, getting to interact with them, watch them getting coached up close. And then the other funny thing about this week, I think from a practice standpoint, is that if you're watching the practice, where the people go is kind of funny too, because all anyone wants to see are like the trench one-on-ones. So normally you're watching football, all of our eyes go to the skill players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that from a scouting standpoint, that the sexiest thing that would be happening down here is to keep an eye on the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. Yesterday there was a 7-on-7 drill, and there's like sparse people on the sideline, and then there's a massive ring around the trench one-on-ones that are happening in the end zone. My guess is because when you have practices, there isn't that much you can actually glean from it, you know, like a running back, for instance. You probably need them to be in a game because you don't want to blow the whistle dead on a play. What you want to see is whether they can force missed tackles, stuff like that. You can't do that in a practice environment. But if you've got a really good offensive tackle versus a really good edge player and they go up against each other one-on-one, you can see who can shed the block, that kind of stuff. And so I guess you can really get a lot of information out of that. But it's a very counterintuitive week for a casual NFL fan.
So, Lindsay, I'm on your Twitter, @Lindsay_Rhodes, and I guess a guy that's really popping down there is Deion Walker, who's just a massive defensive lineman from Kentucky. And we're here in Washington, and, you know, the offense was great with Jaden Daniels. Obviously, he was a star with the number two pick, but they need some help on defense. And that's a guy that if Adam Peters sees him, he's probably like, whoa, maybe that's a guy that's available late in the first round. What's it like watching him? What sort of eyeballs are on him? Anybody else is really popping down there so far?
Yeah, I will say this before I answer your question. I am not a scout, right? So when I watch a Senior Bowl practice, I feel like I have a little bit of ADD because I'm newer to I'm not newer to the college game, but I don't follow college really closely throughout the year. I dive into it at this time of year to try and get caught up for the draft,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so, you know, knee deep in the NFL stuff that's not my expertise. So I come down here and I really want to get a good feel for everybody. And it is so hard to do, you guys, if you don't have a focused plan. Like, I'd be like, oh, that wide receiver made a good play. That's exciting. Ooh, why are people cheering over there? And then by the end of the practice, I'm like, did I see anything? So I really rely on talking to a lot of the people who are more seasoned scouts for their impressions. There's certainly moments that you can see, even an untrained eye, you can tell were really good plays by various different people at various different positions. Deion Walker had a few yesterday that were massive wow plays. He's an interior defensive lineman, defensive tackle. There were also a few plays where, you know, he got pushed back several yards. And so my co-host, who's a football guy, was talking about his pad leverage, stuff like that. There were some concerning things that I think might make the wow plays render them less impactful to his draft stock, I think. There was another defensive tackle, Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. who more consistently, I think, showed out yesterday. Josiah Stewart, who's an edge player from Michigan, was a guy that a lot of people were talking about, and who also, you mentioned I work for Sumer Sports, you've got a lot of advanced data metrics that we try to help guide us that can be helpful sometimes if people maybe don't pass the eye test, and Josiah Stewart is not that guy for sure, but they can point you in the direction of a player that maybe you should go take a look at. But Josiah Stewart just pops off the charts in terms of the advanced metrics and the tracking data and how good he must be. Ariante Ursary is an offensive lineman who had a very, very good day also. Speaking of the tracking data, there's a wide receiver down here that I really want to watch today very purposefully, and his name is Tez Johnson.
Oregon.
Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who is very slender built. And remember when like Tank Dell was new to the NFL and people were like, oh, he's too light and that won't work out. And I think that he is the type of guy that you could write off, Tez, from a traits standpoint. That around this time, NFL people love their traits, but yards per route run, and first downs per route run. These are the kinds of production-related stats in college that actually are pretty sticky. Puka Nacua, if you look at why they might have missed on Puka Nacua, or whether there was signal that we should have seen, you go back and you look at those types of stats, and he is off the charts. And so looking at the wide receivers that been invited to the Senior Bowl for the last 3 years on a chart, there's Puka way off in his own land, and then there's Tez Johnson, and then there's everyone else. So he's a guy that I'll be very interested to keep an eye on today and see if, you know, he can still get by those DBs or if they figure out a way to kind of rough him up a little bit off the line today.
I wonder, are all those scouts and all the NFL personnel guys that are there, are they truly locked in? Anytime I see like these kinds of scenarios, everyone's just like smoking and joking on the sideline. You know, they're just, you know, hanging out. It's almost like a party scene.
Definitely. Yeah, it's like a convention, right?
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like NFL reunion time where you get a chance to see everybody that you haven't seen all year long from the various clubs, media. I'm sure from a scouting, coaching standpoint, the same is true. I did talk to a few people yesterday that were saying, so if they send out the tape of the practice, so they'll have that on tape. They don't even need to be here and they'll have access to that kind of stuff. So what I was told, some of them, most of them, whatever, one of the approaches that they have is that they really try to pick up on the intangibles when they're down on the sideline, the scouts. They'll watch practice reps or groups, position groups, and they'll pay attention specifically to whether a player got a coaching note, for instance, and then how quickly they were able to implement that coaching note, how they treat their teammates, how they interacted with the group, whether or not they were coachable.
Right.
And so I think that probably looks a little bit more schmoozy and like they don't care. And to a degree, that's probably easier to do in person in a very casual way. I don't think that they're sitting there looking at these guys going, oh, the get off was this and taking notes and scribbling, you know, frantically, because they don't necessarily need to. I think they probably have a lot of that information already gleaned and a lot of it's the intangible stuff.
Right.
This week.
So there's so many teams, Lindsay, are just desperate for quarterbacks in the NFL. And last year, obviously, the first round picks, so looks like a lot of them are going to work out, if not all of them. And here in Washington, we got lucky. But talk about the quarterbacks that are there, the scouts you're talking to. Who are they high on? They got Dylan Gabriel down there. You've got Jalen Milroe. I've seen a lot of mock drafts with Milroe going in the first round just because athletically, he's so fast, and he's gotten better as a passer, but he still shows some inconsistency. Jackson Dart's down there. So there's going to be teams in the draft that just reach because they're so desperate for it. Can you talk about some of the QBs?
I think even at the top of the draft, I think teams are going to reach because they're so desperate for quarterbacks. And you could even argue that if you just keep taking hits, this past year was wild. And I'll be very interested to see how it impacts teams' thought processes. And I'm even wondering about my own thought process. I've always been a get your entire team ready, plug in all of the holes. Once you have a majority of those holes plugged in, then go get your quarterback so that you can maximize what the quarterback can bring you on that rookie deal in terms of success. I look at the way that the quarterbacks had success last year, though, and I mean, all of them, like you could argue all of the guys that were taken, you know, relatively early could have a chance to be franchise guys. I mean, even Penix plugged in at the end of the year last year. I think they saw enough to go, we might be able to work with this. So I do think that it'll be very interesting this year in a down year for quarterback. This is not last year at quarterback by any stretch. And I've heard people say, Jim Nagy, in fact, who runs the Senior Bowl and is in charge of scouting all of these guys, has a full staff, was saying that he thinks that the best quarterback this year probably would be like QB6, I think, in last year's draft. So you're looking at a drop off there, but teams will definitely reach. Yesterday at practice, the American team here, they split them up obviously into the two teams, and one of the teams on paper, you look at it and you go, well, this is kind of stacked comparatively, right? At quarterback, they've got Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, and Riley Leonard all on the same team. And the other team has Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
And then the kid from Louisville.
Tyler Shaw. Tyler Shaw, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they brought in a last-minute ad, a kid from Canada, who was kind of – will be an interesting guy to see if he rises a little bit this week, because it was a little bit raw, I guess. But, like, there were a few things that popped, and sometimes people get enamored with that, right? Yesterday was not a good day at practice.
Oh.
And
what, for the quarterbacks in general?
For the quarterbacks, exactly. There were a lot of, particularly on that Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Riley Leonard group, there were a lot of incompletions. It made it really hard, I think, to even just scout the whole session because there were a lot of balls on the ground. And so I'll be interested to see if, I mean, you know, you're getting thrown onto a team with people you've never played with before, wide receivers, quarterbacks. It's all about timing and chemistry. And so I'll be interested to see how much better it looks today, whether or not they can make that adjustment. But, yeah, it wasn't necessarily a particularly great day for, I think, any of the quarterbacks here. I don't know that any of them really, really helped their value. But like you said, you know, it's a long draft process. We're going to talk about them for a couple of months, and my guess is that it won't hurt their status all that dramatically unless it continues to look the way it did yesterday, because people are so, so desperate.
Lindsay, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports. Thanks.
Have fun down there.
Thank you so much. I will. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
Thank you.
Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports, who's at the Senior Bowl. Let me tell you about Main Street Bank. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.